The traditional gospel reading on the first Sunday of Lent is Matthew chapter 4, because there Matthew takes us out into the wilderness, the desert regions of Judea, where we find Jesus fasting and keeping silence for 40 days. So, joining him there, let us listen for a word from the Lord. Matthew remembers how, after his baptism in the River Jordan, Jesus was led by the Holy Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. He fasted 40 days and 40 nights. Afterwards, he was famished. The tempter came and said to Jesus, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread." But Jesus answered, "It is written, quote, 'One does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God.'" Later, that same tempter took him to the holy city and brought him up to the pinnacle, the highest point of the temple, and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, because it is written, quote, 'God will command his angels concerning you, and, quote, on their hands they will lift you up, so that you will not even dash a foot on a stone,' unquote." But Jesus said to him, quote, "Do not put the Lord your God to the test. So it is written." Finally, the tempter took Jesus to a very high mountain, and from that vantage point showed him all the kingdoms of the world with all their splendor. And he said to him, "All these I will give you if you will but fall down and worship me." But Jesus said to him, "Away with you, Satan. For it is written, quote, 'Worship the Lord your God and serve only him.'" So then the devil left him, and suddenly angels came and cared for Jesus. Beloved, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. What if the question before us is not, "What should I give up for Lent?" But rather, "Who am I, really, in this and in fact in every season of life? Who am I?" Right on the heels of his baptism, that orienting affirming, connecting moment in Jesus' life, where down into the waters of the River Jordan he goes, and up he is greeted not only by the voice of the Father in heaven, "This is my beloved, listen to him," but also by a descending dove or something like it, the Spirit of God resting on his life. Right from that moment, Jesus is next led out into the wilderness, out into an empty, quiet, solitary place, to find out who he really is. So I ask you, even as I ask myself, who are you with the TV turned off and the internet unplugged and the radio turned down and the cell phone silenced and Fox and MSNBC on mute and the newspaper still in the driveway and as much as possible the tasks and demands of life held at bay? In that solitude, who do you find? Notice that Jesus is not tempted by the kinds of vices and bad habits, sodas and sweets we tend to give up for Lent. That's not how the tempter comes his way. For Jesus, he is greeted at a more fundamental level with questions of identity and vocation. If you are indeed the Son of God, the tempter begins not with chocolates or coffee, but by doubting the very affirmation of who Jesus is at his core. By questioning if that water in the Jordan really marked and sealed anything, if that voice from heaven, from the mysterious other side, could really be trusted or even spoke at all, if that Holy Spirit that came down was maybe just another bird passing through. You see, that's the nexus of all temptation. Not sugar, not diet, not bad habits, but identity. To forget and forgo who we really are in God's grace. And so the devil wants Jesus to become basically a prosperity giver. Hey, you know what? If you really have the authority you say you have, take these stones, turn them into bread. Make this place out here in the wilderness a drive-through window. Get what you want when you want it now. You can do it. So why not do it? You have to be hungry, Jesus, after 40 days of abstaining. To which I think, I can't even make it 40 minutes without an iced coffee. And here's Jesus, better than a month on his own. Or how about, Jesus, you become a miracle worker? That's what everyone wants from religion, just a little quick fix. Just a little poof and life is better. Just a little nugget for the bumper of your car. Just a little pamphlet to lead us on our way. How about you become a miracle worker and test God? Surely God can do it. Just throw yourself off the temple. The angels will come. They'll sweep you up. It'll be lovely. Or how about, Jesus, how about you become the political leader, the Savior and Messiah everyone wants? Bring in the paradise we're all looking for in our candidates, that we all demand in their elections, that we all want from their platforms. Look at all these kingdoms, Jesus. Be for them what they want you to be. Sisters and brothers, let us observe that Jesus, the beloved of God, the Son of the living God, the firstborn in God's family, Jesus in these moments looks not within, but to Scripture, to the surety of God's word, to the ancient truths that mark him and his people for who they are. It is said, he says, remember Scripture, he says. I quote back to you, tempter, truth even larger than myself. What an encouragement for us that if even Jesus leans upon Scripture, no wonder it's so good and right and important for us to do the same. To trust its word, to trust God's grace, to know that the truest truth about us is not our own, but God's. So then again, I say, how about instead of asking what you or I should give up for Lent, how about we ask again what it is we embrace about ourselves and one another and our neighbors, and even, says Jesus, our enemies. Because clarity about the second question, who am I, will always bring clarity about the first, what should I let go of in my life? As we move closer to God, as we embrace the truth God is speaking to our lives, we find our grips loosened on all kinds of things that are not good for us. People, places, habits, hang-ups, truths, messages, stories, past faults, things done to us, things overdone by us. Whatever it is, your grip gets loosened as you feel again the warmth and the strength and the truth of God's grace. So don't start with the chocolate. Start with the mercy. Remember who you are and trust that the Spirit will lead you in the places you then should go, and I too, to embrace what is true and good and to let go of what is distracting and unhelpful. We are not consumers of products. We are not defined by what stones become bread in our mouths and in our minds. All around us every day, messages, consume, consume, buy, purchase, order, eat, drink. That's who you are, measured by consumption. And Jesus says, it is not so. We live by the bread that comes from the Father's mouth, the truth of who we really are. And heck, even religion is not immune. All around us, subtle temptations to even treat the faith as a sort of vending machine of blessings. The preachers we like, the places we like, the books we like, the TV shows we like, whatever it is. Like. But Jesus says, it's not so with God's love. There's no need to put God to the test. There's no need to consume what is already ours. And how about politics? Oh boy. Once again, all of us tempted every day to identify with the right tribe, to take your place with the people who are like-minded, to consolidate opinions so that you're only with the people who think like you do. There's strength in those numbers, it seems, but I tell you what, if they'll turn on other people, they'll turn on you. That's the shadow side of politics. But Jesus says, worship no one, no one, but the living God. And in God's face of mercy and truth and love, you will find all the power and direction we need for living our lives. Sisters and brothers, welcome to the wilderness of Lent. Who are we? We are God's. Alleluia. And amen. Remain seated as we sing this next hymn as a prayer. Sisters and brothers, it's our privilege today to once again gather at this table for the Holy Meal, to come and be fed by Jesus Christ, His Word, and the truths of God about us. Remember that this is not a Presbyterian table. It doesn't really ultimately belong to us at all. It's our Lord's table. He is the host. Therefore, it's His Word that invites, and He has said, "Come, one and all, who seek God, who seek to know God's love, who believe but want help with their unbelief, who come in doubt or desire, but who come to Christ." That is the invitation. Trust it, believe it, act on it, and let it work its way in our lives. We will share in this meal today, as we often do, by means of coming forward row by row and to be greeted on either side of the table by your elders. Well, they'll have bread that you can tear from and then dip in the cup that follows, returning to your pews by the side aisles. If you're not able to come forward, no worry. Elders will serve you after others have been served. We're all in this together, truly and spiritually. And we should note today, too, that we're beginning a new practice. Your Congregational Care Committee will begin at least quarterly this year, but hopefully in seasons to come with more regularity. We will be, after worship this afternoon, extending this meal to some others in the life of our congregation who've been isolated from us. To Edward Gleaton, for instance, our brother who's still in a season of recovery, will be taking this bread and this cup to him and his family, as well as some others today. So we look forward for the ways that ministry begins to grow as we connect this table and take it to the places where it is needed most in our common life. As we do in our homes, so we do here. Before we eat, let's pause and give thanks to God. Join me in the prayer. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right, O God, because what your word reminds us is that you and you alone have made this world and the universe around it. You've cast your beauty into creation, and you've even seen fit to make us to be reflections of you and image bearers. We acknowledge that in the great history of persons that has not often gone well. Still, you act with mercy. We remember how you heard the cries of our great-grandparents in this faith and how you brought them out of the bondage of Egypt and through 40 years in the wilderness to a place of milk and honey and promise. And we remember how over the generations of Old Testament faith, you raised up prophets and teachers to encourage and correct. And we are here today, O God, because in the fullness of time, you spoke your word in the form of Jesus, our brother, who shares our humanity, but who shares your divinity. He has met us in the middle, and you have claimed us in him. We give thanks for his ministry, reaching out to strangers and outcasts. He also includes us. Healing the sick, he restores our lives as well. Releasing people from their burdens or the burdens of others inflicted upon them, likewise, we have known your forgiveness through him. Offering his life in service on a cross, we see the depths of your passion for the world. And rising again in such astonishing new life, we likewise see your power, your stubbornness, that all will be well. So in his name, O God, once again we come to his table and we bring bread and cup from your creation and we ask your blessings upon them. Send down your Holy Spirit so that for us and for every congregation who today is around his table, that we would know communion with you, with one another, and with all the saints who are in your good care. Likewise, God, send us from this table in the hours to come that we would go forth and extend this meal in myriad ways through lives of compassion and neighborliness and acts of mercy and light. Lord, here today on this first Sunday of a new Lenten season, hear our silent and deepest of prayers.